Hello, everybody, and welcome back to 100 Years, 100 Movies, The Revenge. Today, we're gotten all the way back up to the current year, 2020, and that's what we're going to be talking about. Now, most of this year, we've been under quarantine, so we really haven't had a lot of major movie releases, and I didn't really spotlight any movies the first time around, but I decided I was going to talk about a couple of movies that I liked in my favorite genre, and that of horror. Because I was able to see a handful of movies in the movie theater before everything shut down. And one of these movies I would have seen in the movie theater had I not stayed home a certain day right before they shut down theaters. But this has been just an interesting movie an interesting year in general. Not necessarily a good year, but it's been an interesting movie year as well. I'm not really going to dwell on stuff that could have been out and that hasn't come out yet, but I think one of the things is, like I've mentioned, is horror is always around, and we got quite a few horror movies before theaters shut down, and I was able to catch, I think, one of the best, one that was kind of unexpected, and one that I think I kind of had high hopes for, but I was cautiously optimistic that this would be good or not, and that's The Invisible Man, which is a modern update of the Universal Monster movie, and something that kind of came about because of the failure of Tom Cruise's The Mummy, and to a lesser extent to Dracula Untold, but mostly due to Tom Cruise's The Mummy. So a few years before this, The Mummy starring Tom Cruise was supposed to be setting up this dark universe that was going to revolve around the Universal Monsters as superheroes, I guess. I don't know, it didn't make much sense, even to me as a fan of those characters, what the fuck they were exactly trying to do. But at that point, they had already cast Tom Cruise as the Mummy, along with Sofia Boutella, and Javier Bardem was supposed to be the Frankenstein monster. Russell Crowe was Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde in the Mummy, and they had also cast Johnny Depp as the Invisible Man. Well, that project completely got scrapped, and we ended up instead getting this different take on The Invisible Man, and I think, honestly, this is the better take on this, because it does something unique in Invisible Man movies, is that we don't really follow the Invisible Man. He's the antagonist of this movie, and what we end up actually doing is we're following Elizabeth Moss, who plays Cecilia Cass, and we follow her as a woman who is left behind her abusive boyfriend Adrian Griffin, played by Oliver Jackson Cohen, in the beginning of the movie, and Adrian then commits suicide soon after. He leaves behind everything to Cecilia, and there's certain conditions, and one of them is that she can't be arrested, and another one is that she can't, you know, she has to be clinically sane. She can't be insane. And what follows is this movie wherein what we're really talking about is the Me Too movement, because we're talking about believing women and believing when they tell you things. Because Adrian, who was an optics genius, has created this suit that makes him virtually invisible. And he's able to manipulate things little by little so that it looks like Cecilia is losing her mind slowly but surely, and it's psychological torture. He's not only like fucking with her, but he's fucking with other people that have done him wrong, but mostly it's around her. And his end game really is to try to get her back, because Adrian Griffin is all about control. And this movie is, once again, like, if this was the Johnny Depp version, there's no fucking way in hell this would have been what the plot of that movie was going to be. But because we have this shift to Elizabeth Moss as the main character, we end up getting this story of, like, are people going to believe her? Are they not? And things just escalate to the point where, like, she is framed by Adrian for the murder of her own sister in a very public place, in the middle of a crowded restaurant, back before we could go to restaurants. And in the end, you know, she has to try to figure out exactly what's going on, and she's able to escape, and she is able to use the suit herself in order to frame Adrian for committing his own murder, which she murders him, but, you know, based on what the cameras see, he slits his own throat and kills himself. This movie is great. This movie, I didn't know what the hell to expect when I saw it. When I saw the trailers, I was like, oh, that looks interesting. And the lengths that it goes to, in order to kind of sell this whole idea of this fucking maniac who has no consequences to his actions because he can get off scot-free, the man's dead, for all intents and purposes. It's great, and it really kind of, it really comments on that line about, like, do we really believe women, or are we just saying that, you know? And to take a universal monster and to present it in this way, to update it in this way where it's just as relevant in 2020, is fucking great to see, you know? And this movie is really, really well done. Lee Whannell, who directed it, who was one of the first, along with James Wan, created Saw, he's great. He's a great director in this, and this movie is just technically super well done, and it's definitely worth checking out. The other movie that I wanted to talk about from this year was actually supposed to come out in 2019, but because people jump to conclusions and they hear what a movie's supposed to be about, and they, much like the, you know, the Human Centipede, they jump to conclusions about what that movie actually is trying to say, it got banned. It wasn't released until March of this year, until right before everything started shutting down, and that's The Hunt. The Hunt, directed by Craig Zobel and written by Nick Hughes and Damon Lindelof of Lost fame, stars Betty Gilpin as Crystal, and also stars Hilary Swank as Athena. We basically have here is this group of people, I guess you can say some of them are Trump supporters, some of them are bigots, some are racist, some aren't super well educated, but you get this group of people who, I guess, when the whole idea is that we're talking about the lowest common denominator of deplorables, quote unquote, they ruin a bunch of professional people's careers online because they make kind of commenting on like something like Pizzagate and conspiracy theories, where you take something out of context, and once people believe, they're not gonna, no matter what the fuck you say, they're not gonna believe you that you're lying. They take these couple of emails out of context, or text messages out of context, and state that these rich liberal elites are running around killing people for sport. That's not actually what they're doing, but because these rich liberal elites, Hilary Swank in particular, their careers are ruined, their lives are ruined because of this, they decided to say, fuck it, we're actually going to do this. And so then we follow this crazy horror movie where these people are being hunted little by little, except that Betty Gilpin figures it out pretty quickly that this is all a setup, and she starts fighting back. And it all leads to this mass, to this like final battle between her and Hilary Swank. And Hilary Swank, well, she kind of asks, like, why the fuck she's doing all this, and she talks about how, like, she ruined her life, and she tells her all about her life and everything. And then Betty Gilpin says, well, you know, I'm not the only person with that name in my town, that's actually somebody else. And to be perfectly honest with you, the way it's presented, it could, she could be telling the truth, or she could be just be fucking with her. I don't really know. But what it ends up leading to is just this massive, brutal fucking fight between Betty Gilpin and Hilary Swank, and it's fucking great. This movie, I think, was maligned before it came out. I mean, unfairly. This was unfairly maligned before it came out because people didn't really know what it was trying to say. Now, is it, like, the best movie? No. This is, like, an exploitation movie that is really just trying to take the sentiment in the country right now and is, like, using it as an excuse to just show people's getting their heads blown off. And sometimes that's the best way to comment on stuff, is to point out the absurdity by making it even more absurd. And I think this movie is really a lot of fun. Like, it's a straight up B movie. Like, this isn't so, like The Invisible Man is a B movie too, but it's a little classier in what it's trying to do. And not much classier, but this is like a down and dirty, this is like a They Live for 2020. I really enjoyed this movie, and I think it's definitely worth checking out. And, you know, like I said, I mean, I think 2020, there was other stuff I may have talked about, but it hasn't come out. And hopefully in 2021, you know, we'll be able to address those movies. So that's, we're basically caught up. I'm more or less done, but I wanted to finish up with another, you know, little mini franchise of, you know, like of interconnected movies. And we're going to be finishing up with three more episodes about comic book movies and three separate franchises. So that's where we'll be going from here to wrap up this season. Thank you for listening and for sticking along through this. And we'll see you next time.